Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. Rico Beard, Evan Jenkins back in studio, though. I did appreciate the little patio we had out in Vegas. That was fun.
Weather's a little different here, huh?
Weather's a lot different than here. Yeah, 70 degrees to this stuff. Well, so long as it's not snow, I can live with it. But, Evan, let's just jump right into some football. I guess the biggest story, the Harbaugh thing, I see this as everybody's trying to say something. Everybody's trying to be the guy to say, I know something. I think this is a lot like last year. And I learned my lesson from last year. Last year, oh, it looks like, you know, Michigan's going to fire him. They're going to do this. He plays by his own. He goes by his own beat of his own drum. I think in the end, he's going to be back. I think in the end, he may just be testing to see if the NFL really wants him. Now, this is something that Michigan and Michigan fans have to live with, because it does feel like if the NFL ever offered him a real deal, a legitimate deal, he would take off and leave, which kind of you wonder, you know, is he really that focused on Michigan? I mean, you have to remember, he's never stayed at any place longer than 5 years until now. He's moved on. He's kind of a transient person. He burns a lot of bridges. I'm not saying anything to besmirch his name. This is all facts. He leaves places, and he normally doesn't leave places in good terms.
No, and it's interesting you say that, because what you keep hearing are people talk about his record within the NFL. But what they're failing to mention is, why did it end in the NFL? Yeah. Everything fell apart for him in the San Francisco 49ers. He didn't see eye to eye with their GM. Remember all of that? It just blew up in front of their faces, right? And that was off the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
Was that the following year? And right now, I personally think people are making a story out of Jim Harbaugh when Jim Harbaugh necessarily isn't even a story.
Jim Harbaugh is able to compartmentalize everything. When he's the head coach of Michigan, he's the head coach of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't kind of see him, you know, with one eye to the NFL. But I do think if the NFL came calling seriously, and I think only the Raiders are the only ones that are going to come calling.
Everything I've seen online, there was like a brief report that the Bears had reached out to him. That wasn't true from right. what I read. And that's the one thing, is every year that he's talked about the NFL, I don't believe he's ever been offered a real legitimate job.
Right? He hasn't. It just tells me that that's where his heart is right now. And I think 7 years ago, his heart was at Michigan. And now I think his heart is back in the NFL.
And it's just curious, too, because you see these stories by The Athletic, and I've talked to you about this, by Bruce Feldman, where, you know, somebody within the building is saying that if he was offered, he would leave. And then the following sentence is, but their hunch could also be wrong. And to me, that's a problem. As a journalist, why are we writing off of somebody's hunch? You know
Man,
what I mean?
Because in this day and age, Harbaugh is the worst thing that could happen to journalism, because he keeps quiet. He doesn't say anything.
But if there isn't a story,
so you got to make it, because your editors are telling you, give me an angle.
So you think that there's smoke here? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. I don't think there's smoke here. I think media is making a story out of nothing, only because he hasn't come out and said, I'm the head coach of Michigan, which in all reality, he doesn't have to, since he is under contract, right?
But that's what media does.
Right.
Okay? That media, if there's no story, I hate to say it, you make it up. Or you tell, we've now turned into TMZ. You dabble in rumors.
Yeah.
Used to be you needed facts.
Now you needed a source that had to be vetted through multiple people and go about it that way, where I think as long as you trust your reporter, it's not vetted like that anymore. Because a source within the Chembeckler Hall could be what? The receptionist? A janitor?
Dude, it could be anybody. I mean, he doesn't have an agent. I think he uses John's.
A lawyer is what
John's agent is kind of his de facto. Can you do me a solid and float some stuff out there for me?
John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what you're probably looking at.
And I just think at the end of the day, we're not even going to see a report that he was offered a job. I mean, I think with the Raiders, with the attention-seeking Raiders that they are, the fact that they haven't said anything, or Mark Davis hasn't said anything, or a real reporter out of Las Vegas hasn't said anything.
See, now that will concern me, because it's when people go silent is when you know real stuff is happening. Like Harbaugh's right now is on the recruiting trails. He's doing squats, taking pictures.
I saw that. Good form.
But when you, it's when people go silent. Like when Mel Tucker went silent and just like, I'm not talking about that. You knew things were happening behind the scenes.
So which way do you think things are happening? Towards the maize and blue or the silver and black?
I think, you know what? It's I think that there are two options. There's two paths. And they're sitting there in front of him.
Oh, it's like one of those cool books when we were younger that you could
choose
pick
your own
path.
Adventure. Yep. Yeah, you choose your own adventure. And, yeah, if you believe this, you turn to page 13. If you think this, you turn to page 18.
Right.
That's where he is right now. There's a situation. He can go either way. I think Vegas has him at plus
250.
250
I think
I saw. Back in the NFL. I mean, I would stick. And I think in the end, he's going to stick at Michigan.
So do I.
And then you will probably do this topic again next year.
Well, depending on how he does. I mean, that kind of tempered the last few years because he didn't get to where he needed to be. And now that he was successful, his name was instantly brought back up.
Right. And this tells me this is the most successful he's been at Michigan. And if there's not much, the NFL is a young man's game. I saw a stat that said Tom Brady is older than all the remaining NFC coaches.
Isn't that wild?
Brady's, what, 44?
Well, other than his own coach, yes. All the teams that are going against him. Yeah.
Teams, the opposing coaches.
That's wild.
They're in their 40s, early 40s, you know?
Yeah, because it's McVay, Shanahan, and who am I forgetting?
McVay, Shanahan, and
it's not on the tip of my tongue.
LaFleur.
That's right. And they were all together coaching, weren't they?
Yeah.
At one time with the Redskins.
Yeah. So,
gosh.
When you look at that's how I see it. It's a young man's game. I don't necessarily see a coach at 58 going back into the NFL.
Can you imagine that team, though, going from John Gruden to this interim, which everybody seemingly liked, but there was photos of him writing personal letters to every one of his players, so it doesn't seem like they're going to retain him as head coach. But to go from that to then Jim Harbaugh, like, wow, these kids are going to see
If it was any team that would do it.
It would be the Raiders.
It would be the Raiders.
Because I think they're attention whores. Well, they really are.
Raiders like to think they're the smartest guy in the room at all times.
Well, you don't have a haircut like that unless you want people to look at you. Talking about Mark Davis.
That is true.
Not with that kind of money.
So there's your Harbaugh Michigan update. It really isn't an update. I think in the end, this is all for nothing. He'll be back coaching at Michigan next season.
It's a good thing also.
If he leaves, okay. Now we have a different type of way to go. But we're choosing our own adventure here. And I'm going to choose the adventure that says he stays. Status quo. We move on.
I agree.
All right. As far as Michigan State, a lot of movement behind the scenes. Hiring of a new defensive line coach. He was originally a defensive ends pass rush specialist. But then he ended up becoming just a defensive line coach. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, because Ron Burton, the defensive line coach, abruptly leaves. A lot of people are wondering, well, what happened? I don't know. Kind of one of those, I tried texting with him. It just kind of stayed at just a, we didn't dive deep into it. It seemed like he didn't want to talk about it. I figured I'd give him a couple weeks before I really see what was going on. But he's always been kind of guarded and close to the vest. You know, he doesn't really spill out his emotions. It took a while, like when he was about to leave the first time when D'Antonio left and he was headed to Indiana, you know, and then Michigan State said, hey, we want you to come back here. He's, you know, of all things on defense, Ron Burton's defensive line has been the one consistent. I mean, you can look at how bad the D'Antonio teams were and how bad the defense was last year, but they got sacks. They stopped the run. That was his forte. He is going to be – it's going to be a major loss, and whatever team gets him, I think is going to get a gigantic asset. You kind of wish that he was able – now, I'm speculating here, but maybe it just got to the point where he didn't want to share the duties on the defensive line. It was like his line. He had that position for 2 years, and when you look at it, there was no reason for him to share the spotlight.
Yeah, and you also look at it and think, like – are you happy when somebody brings in your replacement and it's like, work with them?
Right, and your cubicle is right next to him.
Yeah, and so, I mean, now talk a little bit about this guy that they brought in, their pass rush specialist.
Brandon Jordan.
So I was picking your brain when we were in Las Vegas because I'm like, how the heck do you become that, you know, without being it in the NFL. And I saw the list, what, 165 guys in the NFL have worked with this guy?
Yeah, he started off, you know, I guess he did it before where he played the position for mostly like in Canada and NFL Europe. And then he came back and was doing stuff at a high school. And, you know, he then just kind of was teaching high school kids, and kids were posting videos online. And Snacks Harrison, former Lion, saw this and was like, you know what? I'm going to be in the area where he was training. I think it was down in Dallas. And he said, I'm going to stop by and see if this guy's for real, because he sees this. You know, we all see stuff online and you follow it. He goes in there. He didn't know if his guy was any good or not, and he sold him over, and Snacks Harrison became like his first real client, real professional client. And then after that, everybody else just said, okay. Then Ed Oliver started training with him. Rashawn Gary started training with him.
Yeah, it's like the who's who of DNs.
Now everybody's going in there saying, okay, well, hey, let me do this, let me do that. So, yeah, it's good for Michigan State because this is what this guy does, and he's kind of like the quarterback guy.
Oh, you guys mentioned his name to me, too. I want to say it's like George something or other.
Yeah.
I'll look it up while you keep talking. But talk about just, while I look up that name, how good it is for Michigan State, because you were telling me how he'll bring in his former guys.
Well, he's going to bring in those guys because he's still going to be able to train those guys, from my understanding, and they just got to train in East Lansing. So they'll be training at Michigan State's facilities during George Whitfield.
There it is.
Yeah, George Whitfield. So they're going to be training at Michigan State facilities. So, yeah, so now when you see those guys working out, there's going to be a big Spartan logo on the field. You never know what recruits walking through the building, and you look out there and you're like, oh, my God, you know, that's Vaughn Miller out there playing. Big fan of his, so you can watch him. It's to get more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, Michigan State got a lot of sacks, but what killed them was third downs. I tell people all the time, you rewatch these games, first and second down, they held their own. It was third and long. Defenses didn't respect them.
Yeah, and if they didn't get home, the quarterback was going to complete a pass.
Yeah, he was going to complete a – it was third and 13, 14-yard pass, 15-yard pass, and that's how they were not able to get off the field. They would attack, and, yeah, so, yeah, bringing in this guy, and he does a lot of work in the South, in the Louisiana area. Mel Tucker has made no bones about the fact that he's going after Georgia kids, Louisiana kids. He's going after kids from SEC territory. If you want to beat SEC teams, you need teams from the South. You need players from the South to beat the teams from the South.
You know, I read a quote from one of the recruits and said the thing that he was most impressed by was the belief Mel Tucker had in getting his program to where he needed to be. And I think that's a big thing because, I mean, every coach in America is going to walk into a kid's living room, say, I think we have what it takes to win this, this, and this. But actually believing it and then seeing it come and happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mel Tucker can literally say, look what's happened in 1 year. Imagine what I could do with 3 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? With all my guys doing it how I want to. Now, they also went to the portal. They got themselves some defensive help.
Amir Speed. They got
what
Amir
a great
Speed.
Name, by the way.
No, they got Amir Speed, but then they lost Maya Gaiotti.
Correct.
The linebacker.
But his brother stayed, right?
His brother's at Ohio State. No.
I thought his brother transferred into Michigan
State.
No. From USC?
Both guys were headed to USC. The older brother transferred to Ohio State.
Okay.
Didn't really do much at Ohio State, and he came here. He was the top recruit in the 2020 class. He played a little bit. I think he had like 5 snaps in the Peach Bowl, mostly on special teams. I think he would have been a part of the team. And this is where you see the big chasm in State fans. Down the line, I think he would have been a really good linebacker. But Mel Tucker is more of a, I got to strike now while the iron is hot. Building a program isn't the same way you built a program back in the day where give me 4 or 5 years. Tucker's getting paid $95 million. He knows I need results. He's gone out there, and he's gotten linebackers. He's picked up Brulé. He's got Windman from UNLV. He's got Kavaris Crouch coming back. Right now, Guyote was probably third string linebacker. Okay. You got guys. Like, I don't think Noah Harvey's coming back.
No, and you also got Cal Halliday back there. That's gonna,
you know, Cal Halliday. He's the Jordan Kovacs from Michigan State.
Yeah,
he's a guy that has no business being in the mix with the guys he's playing with, but he's the ultimate try hard guy.
Yeah, he does everything well and nothing great. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to play the position. He's not going to be the one that costs you.
Right.
But you need more out of that position.
Because I was trying to tell my buddy, and he finally understood. I'm like, I like Cal Halliday, but you need guys more athletic than Cal Halliday out there. And I looked at the Oklahoma State Baylor game, and at the end of the day, the Baylor linebacker makes a tackle at the goal line. And I turned to him and said, that's what Cal Halliday can't do. But these other guys coming in can. They can do that. Or think about the fake punt that Michigan had. Kavaris Crouch, sheer athleticism.
Got to that side.
Got him and stopped him before he got the first down. So I say that to say, you know, Guyote leaves. He probably would have been a third string guy. And a lot of these people, They want to play right away. I was a top recruit, and I don't want to sit the bench. I'm third string. You know, he didn't even want to go through the spring to see exactly where the pecking order was going to be.
Well, he saw the writing on the wall is what it was.
So he left. And, you know, it
more power to him. That's the state of college football we're in.
It happens. And for those people who are all butthurt and upset, then all I can say is, look, you don't want to win, because to me, Tucker's trying to do whatever he can to win. Will this work? I can't guarantee and say, oh, absolutely, it's going to work. But he's doing his best to get the best people out on the field right here, right now. Is everybody going to be Kenneth Walker? No, probably not.
They struck gold, and you don't do that every year. I mean, like Georgia this year. How many years in a row did they have just an unbelievable running back? I mean, I'm talking the last 7 years, right? Yeah. This year, their running backs were meh.
Yeah, and ironically enough, they won the title with a meh quarterback and an okay running back.
And that's my point. So, like, you can do it. You don't need Kenneth Walker every single year. You just need solid
dudes. You know what you need? You need a defense. And he saw how bad his defense was, and he is upgrading his defense. And when you look at it, bringing in Amir Speed, I think he started in the championship game. He was a part-time starter at Georgia.
He's a grad transfer.
He's coming in for probably 1 year. I don't know if he used his COVID year or not, but he's coming in, and yeah, he's trying to upgrade that secondary. Tucker's not stupid. We all saw how bad the secondary was.
He's a defensive coach by trade too, and defensive player. So he gets it.
If you could put Ronald Williams out there, because as much as Ronald Williams got maligned at the end of the season,
you didn't hear his name once.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's like an offensive lineman. When you don't hear their names, they're doing their job.
I think Kimbrough really showed strides throughout the year.
Kimbrough showed stride. But I think if you take Speed, you take Ronald Williams and Chuck Brantley.
Yes. But Brantley needs to get his hitting under control. That kid's a missile out there, man.
I'm okay with that because he's a punisher. I think he's more of the third cornerback. He could play safety. You know, he's that type of person that you can just kind of let the enforcer. You're right. Don't leave with the crown of your helmet, because you got kicked out the Miami game for that. And a lot of other
being a kid from Florida, too, so I understand that. And what about the kid that kept coming off the edge? I forget his name. He's number 30 in the Peach Bowl. They rushed him like 6-7 times. That's another kid that I'll be – Mike Scott, is that his name? Or
no.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Or 26 was his number?
Oh, yeah, Brandon Wright.
Okay, so
Brandon Wright, former running back. He came in as a running back. He saw the writing on the wall, decided not to transfer, and said, hey, can I go over to the defensive side? Yeah, I think Brandon Wright will be in that mix for pass rushing. I think a guy like Brandon Jordan can take him. He's got the speed.
And he's raw, too.
He's very raw. You see him on the third down. I think you're going to see him more a lot so on the third down, coming after, you know, trying to get the quarterback and making sure they blow up the play.
And that's good because you use your straight line speed for that reason. And, I mean, in the Peach Bowl, I mean, he played more snaps than he probably did all year in one game. And, I mean, he was just shot out of a rocket and got to the quarterback. And that's exciting to see, especially against a Pitt team that was pretty darn good in the grand scheme of things.
So, yeah. So they're definitely – they've used the transfer portal. They brought in Amir Speed. And I keep telling people, you're going to see at least four or five more people hit the portal after the spring practice. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, well, is this a problem? Why are everybody leaving? It's the nature of college football.
Absolutely.
And yeah. He may end up having 23 or so people leaving the team. But I always say, here's what you need to realize. Where did the person go next? And a lot of times, most of the times, they went down, which means that you got to ask yourself now, because I used to always say, can this guy help me beat Ohio State? Can this guy help me beat Ohio State? Can this guy help me win a title? If the answer is no, you probably shouldn't take him. A lot of the guys that maybe you took chances on, those are a lot of the guys who are leaving and hitting the portal. You took a chance. You know what? There may be something about him. They're like Brandon Wright. Raw. Let me see. Brandon Wright looks like a guy I think will end up taking off. I think Brandon Wright will be a name that you will hear a lot next season as an edge rusher coming off these off that edge, along with Brule, the kid from I think Mississippi, was it Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
That's about Mississippi State. And they got, what is his name, Fogle or whatever from
Fogle
Florida.
Fogle from Florida. You're going to see those guys coming off the edge a lot. That hybrid linebacker, defensive end type
of
position.
And with those guys that have speed, too, you can guard a tight end if they actually don't decide to blitz them. So, and throw out different looks out of that set. But I'm excited for it. And then, I mean, Rico, we have... it is basketball season, too.
Well, hold on. Still a couple more things.
Still a couple more things.
Right. State also got the commitment from the running back.
Oh, the kid from Texas?
Kid from Texas. Kendrick Riscano.
Say that 10 times fast.
Riscano. Kendrick Riscano. Yeah. I think I'm saying his last name right. Top 250 running back. Top 250 in the nation.
Big kid,
not just
too.
Running back. He's a big kid. So... not always going to keep going to the portal to get somebody to play running back for Michigan State. They're looking at every option. And I think at that point, what you're going to see is, you know, yeah, they're still trying to get homegrown talent. It's not just, oh, you know, you're just going after these portal kids. They're still going after other guys, especially a running back, because a running back can play right away. It's one of those positions. If you know what you're doing, you see hole, you hit hole, you go through hole, and you'll be okay. They also have, I'm trying to find his name, running back coming in from Colorado.
So he's coming for a visit, right? Number 23, he was a big time, he was a Pac-12 player of the year.
He was Pac-12 player of the year from Colorado. I'm trying to look at his name. But yeah, he's going to be on a visit for the Michigan game. And... I think that's probably another guy who's going to be coming in.
Jarek Broussard.
Yeah. He's going to be coming in with Berger, the transfer from Wisconsin, and you're maybe looking at your 1-2 punch there. I think Harold Joyner gets moved over to the Connor Haywood position where he kind of becomes that H-back kind of mismatch type of thing.
He can catch it out of the backfield.
Because the thing about Connor Haywood, he was always the option that everybody forgot about with all the receivers and everything. So offensively, I think you're going to have something. But, yeah, the Michigan weekend is going to be another big weekend.
Next weekend, right?
Yes, next weekend.
Is that next Sunday?
They're bringing in him along with some other guys.
Next Saturday.
Yeah, they're bringing in some other guys who can be potential players. But, yeah, they are definitely looking at – other pieces. So you're going to see more additions. I think probably you'll see at least two or three more additions that get added to the team from that. So, all right. Basketball.
My favorite.
Basketball. Michigan bounces back. They beat a Minnesota team. They got Indiana
coming. No, Maryland. They beat Maryland.
Maryland.
A horrible Maryland team, by the way.
They beat Maryland. They got Indiana fresh off of their upset victory last night over Purdue, which is funny because, I mean, they rushed the court, but I guess they hadn't beaten Purdue in so long.
And I don't even blame them anymore because Indiana's kind of like Michigan football where, like, they have all of the glory and everything, but, I mean, how long has it been since Indiana's won a Big Ten title? But I'll tell you what, that matchup between Trace Jackson Davis and Hunter Dickinson is going to be one to watch if you're a basketball fan.
It is. Trace got into foul trouble, so he really got nullified in the game. Going to see what happens. I think the game's in Indiana, so you can get
3:30.
You can get home cooking. That game is going to say a lot about how quickly Michigan has bounced back and can they have the momentum to carry over from the Maryland game. Michigan State takes on Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. Friday night, I don't know if I really dig the Friday night games. But
I do. I really do. You know why? Because as I got older, I don't do anything on a Friday night, so it's entertainment for me on a Friday night. And it makes me feel like it's a big game. And I remember a couple years ago, they had their first Friday night game, and they wore those black and neon green jerseys. And I was like, all right, I can get behind this. And that's how I feel. And I mean, this is a big test for Michigan State.
It's a huge test for Michigan State. Can you? I mean, Wisconsin is one of the top teams in the nation. They don't make a ton of mistakes. I mean, they play Wisconsin basketball. It's boring. Davison's there for his 85th year.
Yeah, well, and Johnny Davis is playing himself as a lottery pick.
Right. And if you're MSU, here's how you beat Wisconsin. You got to turn the ball over less than 10 times, and you got to be proficient and hit probably close to 45 to 50% of your three-point shots.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't do anything stupid. Wisconsin's going to make you value every possession. If you fall behind by more than 7 points, man, that's like a 15-point lead anybody else. It's hard to come back against Wisconsin, especially now that they actually have a scorer on their team.
And he's good, man.
Yeah, you're going to be fighting the crowd. You know, hopefully Marcus Bingham can get back to post-COVID form. Man, you know, there's a lot. Max Christie, how does he handle that road type of environment? Let's face it, they've been flirting with disaster for a long time.
It's almost like Izzo was waiting for it, and it couldn't have fallen on a perfect game.
I don't think he was waiting for it. But it was just one of those, you saw it against Northwestern, it finally happened. But every game that they played, it was like, geez, guys, you know, you're better than this team.
And that's the only reason that they won all those games. It's because they were physically better, and they were able to overcome those turnovers. But when you face a team that is either equal with you or just below and you turn it over a bunch of times, like 13, what do we figure? That they gave up 17 offensive rebounds and 17 turnovers?
No, they gave up.
It was like 32 extra possessions is what we figured.
It was 32 extra possessions. It was 17 turnovers and, you know, like 15 offensive, 11, something like that, offensive rebounds.
I mean, you could show that to somebody that's never watched a game of basketball in their life, and they'd be like, yeah, that's not good.
You're not that good to overcome that.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't have the unforced. And it's the thing that Izzo's been saying for the longest, beating his head. Throwing the ball out of bounds, you know, getting the pass and your foot's out of bounds. Like, those are the stupid ones. Not you're working hard and aggressively and you're throwing a pass and it deflects off somebody. But just it's almost like a false start in football. You know the play count. Getting a false start is unacceptable.
Yeah, it's mental at that point.
Right. It's not like you get a holding call to protect your quarterback from getting killed. You live with that one. But, yeah, going up against Wisconsin, and then they got at Illinois on Tuesday. Man, if you're MSU and you can split one of those, I think you're still sitting pretty good and getting one of the top four seeds in the
Big Ten tournament.
In the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That's what you're shooting for. If you can split one of those, you're still in the hunt to maybe even sneak in and possibly win the Big Ten. But I think for Michigan State, the goal is just getting the top four for the Big Ten tournament. Get the double bye and start play on Friday. That's what you're looking for. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, you're going to go up against two of the best teams right now, two of the hottest teams outside of – well, Purdue just lost, but Illinois is back, and Wisconsin is just – they're a different type of Wisconsin because now they got a score.
A legit score. Johnny Davis is so good. If you haven't watched him, watch that game on Friday night, and it'll be great. Now, my question for you. I blame you for getting me back into comic books, so I've now bought a few. But let's say we're in a comic book world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who wins in a fight, Bucky the Badger or Sparty? I'm talking like a comic book fight, like Invincible style. Like all, no holds barred. I mean, we're going a Badger against a dude that works out a ton.
I got to think in the end, it's probably going to be the Spartan because he's going to have a sword. And he's going to be able
thumbs.
He's got thumbs. The Badger is a small, pesky, ferocious rodent is what a Badger is. And you know, when you back him into the corner, they're the most dangerous. So Sparty would win, but he would have a lot of bite and scratch marks and probably, you know, got to go get a tetanus shot afterwards or rabies.
I figure I like that answer. I figure I'd throw something a little off the wall.
There you go. Wow, I didn't see that one coming, Evan. All right. For Evan Jenkins and Rico Beard, thanks for listening to the 5-Star Zone. Make sure you tell your friends and keep subscribing, and we will be back next week.